Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Little technological update. Our Twitch stream is down, so if you want to watch the program, you can watch it on YouTube, as you can any day, not just when you're bouncing from Twitch over to YouTube, but I see the chat has filled up nicely in there on YouTube, just like it does on the Twitch stream.
A lot of familiar Twitchers over there on the YouTubes.
They got to get their fix in.
Yeah, they're all big fans.
Not always.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, who's going to rag on you two if the Twitch ain't there?
That's what the two of you are there for.
Yeah. And the text line.
Also.
And the callers.
Yep. Okay.
Everybody else.
The boss.
My wife.
Spouses.
My kids.
Mm-hmm.
Ted. Pretty much everybody that is listening likes to beat up on us. It is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons, powered by Verizon. About a half hour from now, we are expected to talk to Marcus Jones, defensive back for the New England Patriots. And about an hour from now, at 4 o'clock, we'll talk to the quarterback, as we do each and every Monday. Drake May will join us, coming off a good/bad performance, depending on your perspective, for the second-year quarterback Patriots lose. He has a couple turnovers, but he also moved the ball well and had them in position to win the game at various points. But let's go back to the phone lines. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Vinny in East Boston. Vinny, what's up?
What's up, Andy? How you doing? I had a question for you and Fitzy. So, like, the offense obviously was pretty inept on Sunday, and Drake did not look good. The play calling had a lot to be desired. But how long do we go here without the Tommy Cutlet in the background? You know what I mean?
Thanks for the call,
How
Vinny.
How about it, Vinny? I like Vinny's thinking.
That's it.
Do you know? Was the offense inept on Sunday?
Enough to give Tommy Cutlets a look. You need to get the fans reengaged. Listen to Vinny. He's reengaging the show because of Cutlets.
Did your voice just go, hey, you got to get the... Did you feel a little Cutlets there?
Yeah, I felt the spirit of Tommy Cutlets.
Wow.
I believe that was a troll call.
No.
Vinny.
No, he's dead serious.
Because if he didn't note the 90-yard drives, the 17-play drives, the trips into the red zone...
How about the fact that they gained twice as many yards as the Steelers?
The fact that Drake May took flotsam and jetsam and threw for 270 and had you in position.
Which one's flotsam and which one's jetsam?
They're all stink, stank, and stunk at various
times.
By the
way, your boy Will Campbell, I know how much you love putting stock into the grades of... But Pro Football Focus was a little disappointed with Will Campbell yesterday.
Of course they were. And that, who was the analyst this week that, was it Brian Hoyer or Mark Schlereth that crapped all over PFF? Maybe both, because
Mark Schlereth said, like, you know, roll it up and stick it up your blank.
Right, because Mark Schlereth, who played offensive line, knows that PFF has no idea what any of the linemen are supposed to do on any given play.
Brian Hoyer, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
And yet still puts a grade out there pretending that they have the call sheet and the protections and all of that. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Chris in Holyoke. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to get you off here. Taking my call. Getting me off there. I'm really happy with the way Drake May played. I know there was a lot of mistakes. He's a young guy. The team's young. As long as we can get these penalties taken care of and the turnovers clearly there's 8 to 10 winnable games left still. This season isn't over.
Thanks for the call, Chris. The beginning part of that call, I agree with wholeheartedly. The last part, all these wins all over the schedule.
And the four interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all that.
Not sure I can
Yeah, if only
myself.
We could just stop turning it over so many times and fumble it and not score. I mean, but other than that.
Yeah, and by the way, this Sunday's game, which all of us had, I think, before the season even was nigh, had chalked up to a dub. I mean, Carolina's coming off of shutting out the Falcons 30-0.
Don't speak for me. I didn't chalk anything
I said a lot of us, a
this
lot of people.
This team shouldn't chalk anything up. Whoa. This team needs to fight to the finish every flipping game it has. If
what
it
if
plans
they finish September
games.
1-3? Did anyone have that on their Patriots bingo board?
Oh, so you
board?
Have them 2-6 now?
2-6?
A week ago, you had them 6-2.
No, I said it was a possibility. I didn't have them at that. See, yeah. I see what you're doing. Everyone, this is the Andy Hart game. Watch out. Moving goalposts.
So 6-2 is still a possibility.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, likely? They could. They could be. No. They could be. But sure. Can they? Has the Buffalo game been played? Unless you get, do you have a copy of the script from 345 Park Ave?
Oh, I can give you a copy of the script. It won't go well for you.
No?
You won't like it. No, no. 617-779-7937. Continuing to react to the Patriots' loss and all the turnovers, but it's a little after 3. That means it's time for Dan Ball to take over the 3-point stance.
319!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to 3.
Tatum puts up a 3. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pastrnak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
3.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or all three of your producers are smarter than the hosts, you got to get Glassman.
Whoa!
The hosts who happen to all pick the Patriots in last week's pick'em, you got to get Glassman. Call all 617-777-7777.
Wear it. Come on, Hart.
Figured I'd get that in there before 5:30. Why wait until the pick 6 to share the good news? 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. 3 hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
What if I say no?
Then I would ask Nick Fitzy-Steven if he's ready.
Nah, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, here's 60 seconds, Scott.
So I warned you last week we were putting an awful lot of pressure and eggs in the cart of one Willier Abreu. We've been monitoring his calf and the evolution of his rehab. Then we were all a little taken aback. He didn't make the trip to Tampa. Uh-oh, setback. We've talked about that, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he was ready. He was activated. He played last night, and he did exactly what I thought he would do. He didn't look ready for Major League Baseball. He shouldn't be ready for Major League Baseball. There's a reason that rehab assignments, rehab stints happen in Major League Baseball, because it is difficult to go from missing significant time to either hitting or pitching at the big league level without the chance to get your timing back, certainly for a hitter. And Willier Abreu last night went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Willier Abreu is one of the best hitters you have. He's certainly one of the best power hitters you have at this point. I understand the desire for him to hit the ground running, put back in the lineup, and to bring some pop to the lineup and bring some runs to a team that, even when they get bases loaded, can't score runs. But this is incredibly unfair to Willier Abreu. Maybe by the postseason, he'll be ready to go. Now let's just hope he and the rest of the team make it to the postseason.
How are they going to get there? They're going to have to pitch their way in?
Flight.
The postseason?
No, they're going to get there.
If they win two of the next six, they should get in.
Two teams have to pass them, not just one. Two teams
and
have to pass them.
And luckily those two teams enter one
you,
team.
And all
team
these, leaves, like, it's mucky enough that there's a reason why the numbers, and Dan Ball probably has the FanGraphs version. ESPN is, I believe, at 87.9% chance that the Boston Red Sox make the playoffs. They believe in them. They run the numbers. Seems high. I know. I see your face. Feels high. Dan Ball FanGraphs.
Up to 90.4.
How? Okay. What happened from the midday show? It's gone up 3 points and no one's played baseball.
I know. I guess just the FanGraph gods got off lunch and decided to change it.
So, Dan, just for my benefit, pretend I'm the audience and I'm not up to date with who's playing who and why FanGraphs and ESPN have the Red Sox at such a high percentage of making the postseason. Who's playing who and who's where and doing what that should give us such, I hate to say it, false confidence?
That is something that I could prepare in a moment's time and give you a week snapshot. But for the time being, they believe that the Red Sox have a easy enough schedule, which I think is strange because it's wrong because they're playing two of the better teams in the AL. But there is some kind of hope. Maybe the Abreu factor helps. I'm not really sure about that.
But also there's like a simple. This is simple Andy Hart analytics. The Red Sox are a playoff caliber team. The Red Sox are a playoff caliber team. Playoff caliber teams, almost against any competition, don't generally lose six games in a row. There are six games left. So right there, just sort of law of averages, you're going to win a game.
But the Detroit Tigers are a playoff caliber team, yes?
Correct.
They have lost 9 of 10.
No, it can happen. Have they lost six in a row?
Maybe it was 4 and 5.
Could okay, but that's six. My point. You need seven. To lose six in a row or whatever. Like, there's two teams right there. Mm-hmm. They mess it up. Like, you've put yourself in position to have a really, really embarrassing collapse. It has to go really, really sideways. Now, it would have been nice if you could have won that game last night. Mm-hmm. Would have been nice if Connelly Early hadn't struggled so mightily to start the game.
Deserves a little grace for the two good starts prior to.
That's great, but this is in the business of winning and losing in postseason. If you're out there, I need you to compete at a major league level. He wasn't good early, and what really bothered me a little bit with his early performance, as soon as runners got on, it's almost like he freaked out.
Yeah.
He was focused on the runners, couldn't throw strikes. Like, he seemed young, and I know he is, and I know I'm making excuses for Drake May in the right hand and criticizing Connelly Early in the left hand. A little different, though. Connelly Early doesn't rely on anyone except Connelly Early. Anyone.
Like, who does Drake May rely on?
Everybody. Yeah, literally, Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Who
Will
lost
Campbell,
more? Yes.
Mike Onwenu.
Pop Douglas. Who lost more? People are like, in the text line, and we'll get back to this. He couldn't come back for the win. He threw the ball to Pop Douglas with a chance to extend that drive.
Missed
you don't
him on
know what he would
13,
have done.
Though.
But, okay, so,
just being
Pop
fair,
Douglas is off the hook?
Nope.
Okay, the quarterback with the toughest job on the field put the guy in position to make a play. It's not his fault. The guy that is out there sucks and is not Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman or Wes Welker or any of the... I think you continue that drive if Efton, I almost just swore, freaking
Efton,
Chisholm was on the field yesterday. I think you extend that drive.
Welcome to my side of the street.
That's how much I believe that Pop screwed you yesterday. He screwed the hell out of you yesterday. I don't know how we got here, so Dan Ball, take control.
Yeah, so just to share the information, Fitzy, you were asking about what the final week looks like.
Yes,
so,
let's go back to something more optimistic, bright and sunny, like, you know, the Red Sox playoff chances.
Absolutely, because they get Toronto on the road, and then they get Detroit at home to finish the regular season. Cleveland, the Guardians, they get the Tigers for three coming up this week, followed by the Texas Rangers. The Rangers, who are nearly out of the picture but still kind of sniffing it, they get the Twins and then obviously play the Guardians. Houston gets the Athletics and then the Angels.
Like Houston's schedule.
I know. So that's probably the team that you're going to talk about. That's why I would worry about this, because Houston has an easy schedule and Cleveland's the hottest team on the planet right now.
Yeah, they're due to cool off.
I mean,
I've been saying that for a while now.
Wait, hold on. You sound an awful lot like the guy last week who's like, don't worry about it. The Guardians will cool off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that they cool off next week when they're in the playoffs.
What are the chances they don't cool off for three straight weeks?
I mean, there's been a lot of teams that haven't cooled off for three straight weeks around
fine.
This time.
I guarantee you the Red Sox make the playoffs.
Did you major in tempting the fates?
I guarantee you.
Guaranteed.
They can put it at 87 to 90%. I'm putting it at 100%. The Red Sox are making the playoffs.
Why? Right. Just what's the thing that gives you the most confidence about the Red Sox?
The fact that it's mucky enough. And that there are, you don't, if one team just had to pass them, I would not feel great about it. But
somebody
it's
has to win the Central.
And they're all playing each other. And like it seems just mucky enough to me that you will sneak in. I'm not saying it's great. You're beep, backing your ass into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. This would be epic. If they just go out and no one in the world thinks they're going to get swept in two straight series, do they, Dan Ball?
I think it's possible. I certainly think it's possible. And I'll explain in my three-point stance in a few moments why
your
I think it's possible.
Your check is in the mail, Andy.
By the way,
they have a
one game advantage over Cleveland and Houston. That can change in one night's time.
But they also have the tiebreaker now that there are no more play-in games. Side note, Major League Baseball, you cowards. Why didn't you leave the play-in games?
I agree. But we can leave that one there. As I ask you, Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
Indeed, I am. Although I'm excited for yours, let me get mine out of the way in the interim, and it's not going to make Stanley any happier.
Oh, here we go with 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, your final score from the field of the University of Central Florida Saturday was UCF 34, UNC 9. Another drubbing for Bill Belichick's UNC Tar Heels, who now move to 1-3 on the season. Now, those of you that might be like, well, that's okay. You know, he's still just getting the team together. It takes time. It's a major transition. He'll be able to do what he needs to do against the ACC. They haven't really played any great teams yet. And this Saturday, October 4th at 12 o'clock, UNC at Chapel Hill hosts the University of Clemson. Clemson is a 12.5-point favorite. Does anyone in this room think that Clemson should only be a 12.5-point favorite at UNC this Saturday?
Well, they kind of stink, too.
They're not great, but they might also win.
1-3, I believe.
Yeah, but they're still Clemson, and this is UNC's Bill Belichick. The histrionics continue. The nonsense continues. The embarrassment continues with Jordan showing up. I'm not sure exactly what Princess Sparkle Pants was doing on the sideline Saturday. Were they making out? Was she giving him career advice? Game planning. Okay. California, Syracuse, Virginia, Stanford, Wake Forest, Duke, North Carolina State. This might be a 3-9 football team. Andy, Stiz, Dan, I think this might be 3-9, which leads to 1-and-done for Belichick.
Stiz, just give me my beer now. Our beer bet is over.
Stiz, I'm not joking. I'm not doing this because I want to get anti-likes and anti-clicks and haters on the text line and in my Twitter feed. They're going to be like, all the things Belichick did for you, Fitz, he used to wear his face on your cutoff hoodie sweatshirt. And now you're coming. I did bets because I was proud of what he was doing and I enjoyed it. You're the first person to always remind everybody like, yeah, you put up with his nonsense because they were winning all those years. That is also true.
Yeah, but I was criticizing him when he was winning.
Yes. And
you're with him win or tie.
He's lost his way, and I think it's embarrassing what's going on the sidelines. Sadly, what's going on in the field is embarrassing, and this is going to be an embarrassing season for UNC and Bill Belichick as a head football coach. 1-3? Show me the wins on the schedule.
This is why some of us thought this would be a debacle. This is why some of us thought he had already had fireable offenses long before they played a game.
What's that headline you shared in our group chat earlier?
So the headline, I know, and this was right after Sunday's game. This came from CBS. Headline read, "The Bill Belichick experiment at UNC, an even bigger disaster than expected."
Don't tell me what I expected. I expected it to be bad.
And then the way the teams are trolling him, too.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
When the university
they're going hard.
Quick, it's Saturday at 4. I got to go to the University of Central Florida's Twitter feed to see what their response was to the game. Said nobody ever before, and yet they were crushing the Tar Heels. And Belichick, he has exposed himself. And you're the one who always says...
Are you talking about the ring camera?
You're the one who always said...
Some Tiggo biddies.
Whoa!
But...
Okay. All right. You know what? Dad, this is just... I mean, you're the... okay.
Did you say that they were not 2-2?
They're 1-3.
No, they're 2-2.
Who did they beat?
The two bad teams.
Oh, 2-2. Excuse me. They're 2-2. Show me a third win on the schedule.
The two losses.
Sorry,
are
I
to
apologize.
The two
they're
real
not one
football
and three.
Teams they played.
Yeah,
that's
they beat
right.
Charlotte and Braintree High School.
I would give Braintree High a fighting chance at UNC,
but against the Big 12,
two
real
two.
Football competition, they got smoked in two games.
Yes.
And turns out, coaching college kids not as hard or not as easy as dating them.
Okay. Wow. Oh, he lost. Stanley. Stiz. Even Stiz is taking pot.
Are you shots. Off the? Are you off the wagon? Are you off the train?
I don't even know what that means, but
Andy, I'm stunned because I thought Belichick's defensive wizardry and all the things that he brings to the table, his experience, his knowledge, his competitive edge, I thought that would at least account for something. They look terrible. Yeah. They look really, really bad. And having your 24-year-old girlfriend in the boots that freaking Trinity wore in The Matrix on the sidelines before the game is just, it's laughable. It's embarrassing. No wonder why everyone's like, has Bill lost his way? I'm legitimately kind of sad and nervous for the genius that led us to 9 Super Bowls and 6 Lombardis.
Welcome to the conversation I was having months ago when she was leading him out of an arena and he was doing the old person slidey feet on the arena floor.
Golly.
I mean, it is what it is.
Players are the players, right? Like,
who's
in charge of them?
Who brought the players?
Yeah, but no, in college, like, what's he going to do, especially
he
in
brought
the
in
age
70
of NIL
new players.
That's a lot of groceries.
So he picked the players he wanted, and they invested double the money that they had previously been investing in NIL. They invested in him. They paid him $10 million. They gave him $20 million to buy players. He went out and found new players, and they stink. Stiz, back to you.
I don't think saying the players he wanted, I think, is a stretch.
Well, who did he want?
I mean,
I don't know. I'm not too familiar, but I don't think kids were dying to go to UNC.
Well,
and
why
there's
is
other
that?
Colleges? Well, because it's not known for being a football
but
school.
But they have the most legendary American football coach.
What'd you
and
pay
it's gorgeous.
$10 million for if he's not a draw?
To sell out the stadium, which they have every home game.
Is this all you're going to live
eyes,
on forever?
Are there not more eyes on UNC's football
program
this year?
For the wrong reason
year?
Now. I think they would like less right now.
Stop. I don't think so. I think you're wrong. You've been saying that for months, and this experiment is still rolling along.
Rolling along?
Downhill, picking up
the
bodies
wheels are off.
I don't know. I'm not
through
sure.
Gasoline. Somebody just threw. Oh, hello. You know what's fun to say in this show? Yes, Dan Ball.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And are they not making more money this year than in years past? Are they not still profiting off of this?
No, I don't think so.
Not I think they
You don't think that donors aren't more engaged and they're not getting more in terms of game day revenue?
I think donors are embarrassed.
I'm not sure. You upped your investment by tens of millions of dollars. So you're not going to recoup tens of millions of dollars by ticket sales. Tickets are a small portion. Now, I don't know the donorship books.
Yeah, because their NIL pool was definitely a lot bigger than the size of the program or the notoriety of the program. It was, it was a decent chunk of change.
Right. So where that balance sheet comes out, but if you read any of the stories, people are worried that they sold their soul and are not getting any return on their investment. So I sold my soul and we still stink. It's one thing to sell your soul to be looked at positively, to be looked at as a, we're going somewhere. We have talent. They've gotten nothing on the investment they've put in Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi. I want to include him because he's the general manager.
Yeah.
So
I would guess that somebody's leading recruiting that isn't Belichick.
That's probably
Mike
Lombardi's
job. He makes $1 million a year to do that.
Right.
$1 million a year to do the recruiting for UNC.
Do you think, honestly, if we were given $10 million and we traveled around New England for like a couple of weeks, we couldn't put together a team that would at least like hold court or stay on the field with UNC?
Who's going to coach? I'm not sure we could keep up coaching-wise, but Freddie Kitchens,
weekend,
the offense is terrible. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a debacle down there. And you're right, Fitzy, it's close to one and done, and that is the general consensus, that the wheels are off one
I'm
and
just,
done.
Now
it's how they figure out their amicable parting of ways.
It was okay, let me just put it this way to wrap the clip. Yes, my bad, it was not 1-3, it's 2-2. After the first week, it was kind of fun to be like, wow, Bill Belichick was Mike Tyson, and Texas A&M, or excuse me, not Tech, where, who the hell did they lose
TCU.
To? TCU was Buster Douglas in this scenario. We all had our fun, the memes and everything else. That was fun, but we all thought it would get better. Now it's actually just kind of sad, and it's bumming me out.
It is what it is. Where did I hear that? Interesting. It is what it is. Bill Belichick and UNC struggling.
Nobody works harder than Bill.
I'm not sure about that. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's a Patriots Monday. We should have our first of a pair of Patriots guests. It should be Marcus Jones at 3:30 leading up to 4 o'clock, where we'll talk to the quarterback, Drake May. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI. The Patriots fell to 1-2 on the season with a 21-14 home loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. New England committed 5 turnovers in the game for the first time since 2008. The team recorded 4 fumbles, 2 from Ramondre Stevenson and 1 each from Antonio Gibson and Drake May. May also threw an interception. Here is Mike Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show earlier today talking about his team's discipline.
I don't know necessarily divine undisciplined. Are we the second guy? Are we throwing punches? Again, we always are in trying to improve our discipline using poor technique. I don't know if that's undisciplined, not being very good.
New England hosts the Carolina Panthers next weekend. Tonight, meanwhile, week 3 in the NFL season concludes with Monday Night Football as the 1-1 Ravens host the 1-1 Lions. Kickoff is at 8:15. Coverage via Westwood One begins right here on WEEI at 7 p.m. The Red Sox missed out on their chance to sweep the Rays last night, losing in the finale by a score of 7-3. Connelly Early was on the losing end for the first time in his big league career. He went the first 4 innings, giving up 2 runs while striking out 4. Off day today for the Sox, they begin a 3-game series in Toronto on Tuesday. The Bruins lost to the Washington Capitals in their preseason debut 5-2 yesterday afternoon at TD Garden. Morgan Geekie and Patrick Brown scored Boston goals. The Bees visit the New York Rangers tomorrow night. And finally, the Revolution fell to the Philadelphia Union on Saturday. The final was 1-0. They host Atlanta United next weekend. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons, and that means we go right to the phone lines for our guest, Marcus Jones, Patriots captain, defensive back, punt returner, joins us each and every Monday. Marcus, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. First of all, phone sounds great. I appreciate that. I'm always a little hesitant, if we're being honest, to start off after a loss with how you doing this week. Like, it seems like the courteous thing to do as a human being. Is your emotion adversely affected by losses? Like, as of today, because you lost yesterday, are you kind of in a bad mood?
I mean, it's the game of football. Of course, you know, we don't want to lose. We go out there every single Sunday trying to win and everything. But we take them as lessons, you know, things that we, you know, that we do good. You know, we need to keep doing them. And then the things that can get you beat, you know, we got to make sure to adapt and change them.
Marcus, what would you say went into your adjustments from early in the game when Pittsburgh seemed to be able to make their way down the field, whether they got the ball via turnover or not? They make their way down the field seemingly easy, and then all of a sudden you guys adjust, and they're not able to do much of anything late in the second quarter, well into the second half. What was the defensive adjustment you guys made that were so effective?
Yeah, we just needed to basically settle down. I mean, Braves was, you know, talking to us and letting us know, you know, play our style of football and just settle down. And, you know, whenever we play great team defense, it showed towards the second half of, like, you know, whenever we play our football, we play great together. So,
Marcus, when a team has Aaron Rodgers and we think of Aaron Rodgers, like, is that the same guy? I guess my question is that we've always kind of attributed the skills of Aaron Rodgers. Does he still bring the same challenges for a defensive back and a defense to the table?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're a veteran quarterback and you've seen a lot of defenses and, you know, all of these things and stuff, you know, you never take it for granted, no matter how many years a person has been in the league or, you know, things like that. But he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, no ifs, ands, buts about it. But, yeah, we make sure to, you know, we have to disguise, you know, when it comes down to quarterbacks like that and try to make it difficult for them.
Marcus, so what would you say is, like, the emotional response of the defense when the team turns the ball over? Is it, you know, do you guys just not get frustrated because you're back out in the field quicker than you imagined? Or is it more of a, come on, guys, we got to go do everything we can to get them the ball back again? You know, what's that feeling like on the sideline when you take the field again?
Yeah, it's that second part, you know, as a defense, we basically put out fires. I mean, that's our thing, you know. So our thing is get the ball back to our offense, so then our offense can, you know, put points on the board. So we don't look for look into that too much. And, you know, if they get the ball at the 1 yard line, we don't want them to score. You know, get the ball back to the offense and kind of go from there. So we always got their back.
Patriots captain and defensive back Marcus Jones here with us on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. Is it important for you as a leader or just a good teammate to make sure that there isn't some sort of divide? Because, you know, we as outsiders look at that game and go, ah, the offense kept turning the ball over and they put the defense back on the field. But is it important as a team leader to make sure there is no divide in that sense?
Yeah, very important. I mean, when it comes down to, you know, all three phases, it's very important that it's a team thing. It's a team effort, because when special teams is doing good, you know, then that's good. When the offense is doing good, that's good. When defense is doing good, everything, it all collects together, because whenever one phase isn't doing as good, you know, the other phase tends to, you know, help out. So it's never really the divide. We've been, with each other for the sense of OTAs, training camp, and we built that relationship with each other to where we want to play harder for the person that's next for us, next to us. And we just kind of take that into account whenever we're going out there on the field. And like I said, man, we're a family, and we're always trying to make sure to have each other's back.
Did Pittsburgh do anything that caught you guys off guard yesterday? Anything that you didn't see on tape, or did you feel, given the unique situation with a temporary play caller in place of your defensive coordinator, that you weren't ready for?
I wouldn't say it was a whole bunch of different things. I mean, it's still early in the season. You know, it was only the third game, so, you know, we tried to make sure that we accounted for a lot of different things. We made sure to account for, we know that they like to get on the ball fast, you know, try to get us out of whack and things like that. So we took that into account. And then, Wildcat, they ran Wildcat one play and everything in the game that I know of, so.
Marcus, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I got to ask you about that penalty that was called on you. A screen play where you try to go through the blocker to make the tackle. You were called for going low on the blocker, but it also seemed like that was also your angle. You're allowed to tackle guys in the legs. What's the coaching point there? What can you do differently there? Because that seemed like that must have been a frustrating call.
Yeah, first off, my main thing was to get the tackler. I was definitely going in for a tackle. But at the end of the day, the ref called the flag, and we know that we can't cut outside, which I wasn't intending to do it. But the ref called it, and that's the play. So I just got to take account and know, and that just can't happen again.
Marcus, how is that relationship working now with Zach? He's called the games 2 weeks in a row for you guys. And how are things working out during the week when you guys get to – because Coach Vrabel said this morning – Terrell Williams is involved during the week but isn't able to work the games for you guys on the weekends. How are things working with this unique situation?
It's going great. Like I've said before, you know, Zach, he's a valuable piece to defense, and so is T. You know, their way of messaging to us is great, and they prepare us every single week with the things that we have to look forward to each game and everything like that. So I feel like, you know, they're both doing their part for sure.
You mentioned penalties, and in your specific one, if they call it, you know, you got to figure out a way to play it differently, not get it called. In general, you guys have been penalized a lot, all three phases, not just on defense. What's the approach as a team? Because it just feels like it's too many penalties early in the season, and that's not a good plan for winning football.
Yeah, the main thing is that we have to play smart, you know, play our style of football penalty free. Ray talks about it a lot, about penalty free. You know, you have to understand every single week there will be different, you know, crews and referees and stuff, but you got to take account to know what type of refs that you're going to every week. And, you know, if they call certain calls, we have to take account for it and then play within the rules.
Marcus, obviously Ramondre had a tough day yesterday with the two fumbles as well. What was the locker room like afterwards? Did you guys, motivate him, help him out, bring it, you know, he was hard on himself, obviously, but just curious what it was like afterwards and if you had a chance to speak with him.
Yeah, like I definitely talked to Mondre. Mondre, he's my dog, first off, and he's a great player as well. You know, we definitely understand a sense, especially since I've been here for about, you know, it's my fourth year, and I've seen Mondre, you know, the highs and the lows and everything like that. And like I said, man, he's a great NFL premier running back. And he understands the situation of, you know, holding on to the ball and all of those things. But the main thing is that I want him to keep that confidence and everything like that, which he has it and stuff. But, you know, it's great to end up seeing that, you know, we could talk to him and he understands and stuff like that. Because confidence is a lot whenever it comes down to this game. And I know he's going to get back on track, and we're going to do what we have to do to protect the guy with the ball as well and go from there. So he's going to be right.
Patriots cornerback Marcus Jones here on a Patriots Monday, WEEI Afternoons. One of the numbers that's been thrown about quite a bit today is the idea that I believe you guys are 3-16 in your last 19 games at Gillette Stadium. Coach Vrabel made some comments this morning about you got to fix that. You got to find a way to fix that. Do you feel like you have a home field advantage, or how do you make it feel like you have a home field advantage?
Yeah, I feel as though that we do have a home field advantage. You know, first off, I commend all of the fans and everything and all the support that comes to the stadium and make it hard for the opposing teams. But yeah, like Brave said, you know, we definitely need to turn that back around and everything, and, you know, stop having mental errors, and, you know, having we got to make sure we play penalty free. And, you know, whenever we do that, then we'll end up changing that, you know, into some wins instead of losses. So,
Marcus, last week, your teammate, secondary mate Christian Gonzalez, returned to the practice field in a limited capacity. Unfortunately, was ruled out Saturday. How's he looking? How's he feeling? I'm not asking you to make a prediction whether he plays or not this week, but what was it like at least having him back there out on the practice field with you?
Yeah, it was great having him back out there. We've played, you know, plenty of seasons and everything like that with each other, and it's great to end up having him out there just from the fact of, you know, communication piece and stuff, and then, you know, also just, you know, having fun out there on the football field. So, you know, it was great having him back out there.
All right, Marcus, appreciate you joining us after a tough loss. Good luck against the Panthers on Sunday. Hopefully it's a chance for us to talk after a win next Monday.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marcus. That's
Thanks, Marcus.
Patriots cornerback Marcus Jones joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Speaking of our friends at CBS and Paramount Plus, real quick, did you like the throwback CBS pregame show announcers, graphics, everything they did there?
That's my favorite NFL theme song by far, the NFL on CBS, the vintage one. I love those graphics as well. Love the studio look. Thought maybe going, but having everybody like in the 1970s Anchorman Boogie Nights ensembles with the fake wigs and mustaches. That was a measure too far. Brent, hearing from Brent Musburger again, who's a legend, awesome. Yep. Love that voice. The intro with the graphics got the goosebumps going. Then when I saw them in studio, I was like, this is corny.
Yeah, it felt like it went a little too far, but I did enjoy it, and it fell in line with the Pat Patriot Reds.
Steelers.
Unfortunately, the Patriots fell in line with the poor play that was in some ways characteristic of the Pat Patriot
Looking
Reds.
Looking like the 1975 Patriots.
Yikes. 617-779-7937. Coming up, we will break down what Marcus Jones just talked about. How much did they miss Christian Gonzalez? Are we going to see Christian Gonzalez this week? And where's all this talk about the offense and Drake May? Where's our confidence level in the defense? We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How's he looking? How's he feeling? I'm not asking you to make a prediction whether he plays or not this week, but what was it like at least having him back there out on the practice field with you?
Yeah, it was great having him back out there. We've played, you know, plenty of seasons and everything like that with each other, and it's great to end up having him out there just from the fact of, you know, communication piece and stuff, and then, you know, also just, you know, having fun out there on the football field. So, you know, it was great having him back out there.
This is definitely mid-90s Andy music.
I don't remember. I know, this is your bag, Andy.
Absolutely. 90s on 9.
Who dis?
Serious. Yeah.
This was a group or called Zane. Hey, Mr. DJ. Maybe like a one-hit wonder, but a very popular. Just
love
instantly
it.
Brings me back.
There
to
are a lot
90s.
Of these, and I liked all these female singers, R&B slash R&B girl groups, whatever they were. A lot of those. All Saints. Can you play All Saints on the way back? Never Ever.
Absolutely.
Or whatever that song is. I love that song. Anyway, that was Marcus Jones with us on a Patriots Monday. I need to apologize first and foremost to our listeners because I misled you when I heard how loud and clear Marcus Jones was on his first few words. I thanked him for the good phone.
Yeah, why'd you jinx it? Why'd you even say it out loud?
Yeah. Because it sounded good right out the gates.
Yeah, but just let it happen. Enjoy that it's a fact and then move right on.
And then the rest of the interview, half the answers.
Wow. Learned a lesson today.
Yep, lesson learned. My bad. Why? Also learned something else. We'll get into Christian Gonzalez in a minute. But when I was asking Marcus Jones about the penalties, and he talked about Vrabel preaching that we can't do that, even though Vrabel went on the Greg Hill show and said there's no correlation between penalties, winning, and losing.
I disagree, sir.
I don't know what's going on there. So I went to look. Did you know that the Patriots on the season have 27 penalties for 199 yards.
That is too many. Also, 199, cool number.
You know how many penalties their opponents have combined?
How many?
27 penalties for 201 yards. So maybe he's right. Maybe it's just kind of a wash over the course of a season statistically. And maybe that really does have nothing to do with anything. Have we felt like the opposition was overly penalized? Heavily penalized? I know this is difficult to go back and think about it.
But at the same time,
we don't really watch the game from that perspective.
Wouldn't you be in better stead if you didn't have those penalties? It was like, we committed 50 yards, they committed 200.
Sure.
Well, but that affects your net performance.
I feel like those numbers kind of more align with what Mike Vrabel said to the Greg Hill show a week ago than us and all our angst about penalties and everything that's going on. 2 yards. There is a 2-yard difference, and the Patriots are on the plus side of the 2 yards. Plus 2 yards.
There we go. Hey, the winning is back.
No, not really. But the winning could be back on Sunday if Christian Gonzalez is back. So the Carolina Panthers put up 30, shut out the Falcons, division game. Michael Penix, what would you say you do here for my fantasy team? But we're not going to talk about that.
Definitely played like Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No big Penix energy there. That was the littlest Penix energy I've ever seen.
How do you do it against Carolina, no less?
Also, did you see a quick side note that he doesn't take his do-rag off?
What, at all? When he, like, in the shower?
He has teammates have never seen him without it, and he wears it in the shower. That includes in the shower. He wears his do-rag in the shower.
Is that sanitary?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
He must change it occasionally when maybe out of sight, out of mind, go into, like, a phone booth like Superman and Clark Kent. But that's a little weird. Anyway, Christian Gonzalez. I told you last week I didn't expect to see him this week. I thought they were doing the build back up, not going to play. Then he'll play the following week or at least be an option to play. How big a difference will he make? I don't think any of us believe they lost this game because of the defense against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It will make a difference, though, because there were a number of times like, oh, I don't know, let's see, that first touchdown pass that Alex Austin was in coverage on. Gonzo might make that play.
And then they benched Alex Austin and they brought in Charles Woods, I believe, and settled in a little bit. Same time when they benched Christian Ellis and brought in Gibbons.
That Christian Ellis investment where the Raiders wanted to take him for 2 years, $13.5 million, and then the Pets were like, no, we want him.
He misses tackles way worse than Spillane.
Yeah. I told you, Spillane had 15 yesterday.
Yeah, no, he still missed tackles. You can fluff it up with all the numbers you want. He still missed some hellacious
tackles.
Well, it's
not that
tackles.
I want to. I'm just telling you.
If Pop Douglas had been going one-on-one with Spillane with the game on the line, Pop Douglas would have got a first down there.
And Spillane had a pick. Granted, it was thrown right to him as if he was the receiver.
Had a pick.
Well, technically.
A pick arrived at him.
Okay. Well, did he possess it?
But the defense certainly will be better if Christian Gonzalez gets back out there. I think we all would suspect or expect that Christian Gonzalez would be back out there. I think Marcus Jones would benefit if Christian Gonzalez is back out there. The whole sort of butterfly effect or domino effect, trickle-down effect, whatever you want to call it, by getting your best player in the back end back out there. I also think you and I have both been, critical's a strong word, but a little bit underwhelmed with the pass rush over the last couple of weeks in matchups that seemed potentially advantageous.
I think it was four sacks for the four sacks, three sacks, no sacks
against bad offensive lines. I mean, the Miami Dolphins had, you know, they were signing guys off the street.
40% new offensive line against the Patriots.
Steelers were the same thing. Mm-hmm. Steelers had all these backups. You haven't really dominated to the way I'd like you to. I think you will be better on the front if the back end gets better. You know, the old Belichick, oh, they got to work in concert, the rush and the coverage. If you get your best coverage guy back, I think that could actually lead to an influx of sacks. I also think that Bryce Young is a guy that you can get flustered a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And a side note on the defense, if you listen to Mike Vrabel's press conference today, definitely an allusion to the idea that Zach Kerr might stay as the play caller, that they're looking for long-term stability and the unknown of Terrell Williams. I think Giardi asked the question and asked something to the effect of, might you just settle into the idea that Terrell Williams is kind of a consultant more than the defensive coordinator? Sounds like they are considering that, and you might get Zach Kerr for consistency's purposes over the final, what is it now, 14 games of the season.
Well, so what how it works, or so we've been led to believe, is that during the week, they talk, like Terrell zooms in, I guess.
Oh, yeah, or... he's been an active participant during the week, much like he was at various points during the spring and the offseason. And I just think, while Vrabel is being respectful of Terrell Williams, his health
situation,
and all that, he also has to do the old cliche, what's in the best interest of the football team. And I don't think it's good for the football team if, oh, Terrell's back this week, he's going to call plays. Ooh, Terrell had an issue, he's out this week, Zach's going to call plays. I think you want to streamline that process. You can have Terrell Williams contribute to the game plan and the play sheet and everything that, but have Zach Kerr be the guy that for the next 14 weeks calls the plays.
Well, for being honest.
You should always be honest.
Why start now? The defense is technically, I'll say something that I'd be curious to hear if you agree or disagree with.
Stupid.
They gave up 20 points, 21 points, and 21 points. Because there was one touchdown last week that was attributed to special teams. So it's not that the defense has gotten pantsed or embarrassed themselves thus far, by any stretch.
Now, I don't know that they've played great offenses, and they have given up a lot of passing yards to guys like Geno Smith and Tua. Like, I don't love the defense, but you're right. Defense maybe has played well enough to win. I don't know. Various aspects of the team have played well enough to win, just not consistently enough. That's why they're 1-2. 617-779-7937, reacting to the Patriots' loss yesterday, 21-14, ugly football, turnovers. Also awaiting up next, Drake May is scheduled to join us here in the 4 o'clock hour, early in the 4 o'clock hour, from Gillette Stadium to tell us all about his game, his teammates' game, where the offense is going, and where it needs to be. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.